America Meditating Radio Show, we collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
The entire world watched.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And humanity saw that the sky was not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Are you in need of a tech service company that's going to deliver the best solutions for your business? Then Atronica is your solutions headquarters. Here we specialize in your individual needs to make sure your business shines. For more information, please call 301-417-0070 or visit us at our website at atronica.net. Atronica, where we deliver for you.
Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
I'm Ivy Hilton, and you are listening to America Meditating Radio Show.
Hi, this is Regina Radisic, all the way from Providenciales, Turks and Caicos Islands. Hope that you're looking, feeling, and performing at your very best. You're listening to America Meditating Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Vin Verga, author of The Soul of All Living Creatures, and I listen to America Meditating Radio.
Thank you.
and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. We are going through a powerful time within ourselves, and as we continue to observe the way that we are responding to our lives, we're gaining more insight as to what type of soul who we are. Not necessarily who am I. Who am I is a soul. The soul is an energy, at least it's what I have grown into believing in, because if you've ever seen someone very close to you die or leave the body, you feel like something has left the body, but the body is still there. So who am I? I am a soul, and I'm sitting in this body, and I'm playing out a part. The thing is, I don't know what type I am. And life can throw you a variety of curves, a variety of games, a variety of stories, and they will never stop. And no matter how much you try to sort of visualize what's the perfect life for you, even when you get it, you still find there's something in the soul still needed, still required. There's still something there, as if we never really get to the destination that we're seeking. But there's something very powerful about being engaged. Engaging yourself in these moments in life that do show up in front of us, and to remain engaged at a sort of a rhythm or a level that will give you a sense of going into it, not running away from it. And we sometimes, you know, it looks sometimes impossible to achieve or hard to overcome. There are these times when we wake up in a cycle, in a web of karmic realities, and we don't necessarily remember how we got there. Last we knew, we were either in love or we trusted the person to make our investment in, or there was a time that we were just so positive that we could change something negative and make it work, or our bodies were in check. Remember those days in the 20s when everything kind of fell into place, and then as you grow older and move into your 40s, 50s, it looks like you're acclimating your whole vision of yourself completely different. And you're still saying, I need to love me. I need to appreciate I, the living energy, the living soul. And so we are a business on the inside. The way that you and I function and think and coordinate life from inside out is a business. And when we can love the business of the type of soul that we're becoming, we're in this game for a long time. I know some of us say that we've only got one life to live. I think there's a possibility. When I last did a research, the census in 1901 claimed that the population on the earth was 1.4 billion people, my friends. We're looking at a mere 100 years, a little bit over, and we are now almost 7 billion people on the planet. So what's happening with those souls that are coming on the scene? What would be their role? What's their part? And what were the other souls, 1.4 billion, doing prior to even that? You know, so these are the mysteries that I so am pulled into. I find them mind-boggling. And one of the reasons where I find that once we can understand the language of the soul, the language of, we can overcome any adversity that comes knocking on the karmic door of our beings. Stay tuned. We're going to be having wonderful conversations with incredible secret surprise guests, and we're looking forward to having Zina Muzika on the air. She's going to be giving us a lot about her story and how it's been unfolding. Before we get Zina, I'd like to invite us to do what we really do pretty well here on the America Meditating Radio, and that is to take all of you and myself into a zone of deep spirituality, a deep awareness of ourselves. It keeps us motivated from inside out. No matter how much we think we've mastered the game, until we've experienced the worth of the self, until we have felt the divinity of the soul, and we challenge that divinity to come into action and make it our business to shine like 1,000 suns, I don't think we'll ever be truly contented with ourselves. So from my Off the Grid into the Heart City, my favorite track, Letting Go. Take a deep breath, relax. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time, thank you. Welcome back, my friends. That was letting go from off the grid into the heart. The American Meditating Radio is proud to welcome Zina Muzica. She's an author, motivational speaker, woman's business and life coach, social entrepreneur, activist, and the founder of Zina's Gypsy Tea. Celebrated for her work in fair trade business practices, Zina was named the Country Living Woman Entrepreneur honoree and a top woman in business by Pacific Business Times. Now, 20 of the most inspiring women in Coco Eco magazine she was selected for and has received the Enterprising Woman of the Year Award and the Socially Responsible Business Award, among many others. You get an idea. Zina is driven to bring the best of who she's got inside of her into her life, and she's unstoppable. Today, we welcome Zina to the American Meditating Radio. Welcome, Zina.
Hi. Thank you for having me. That was such a beautiful meditation. And it's so ironic because the dogs were barking. My house is under construction, and I was like, oh, this is so... like both worlds were always balanced between, right?
Isn't that something? And you know what? I always believe that the universe and just our lives are always conspiring to make us better and to put everything in perspective, right? Now, sometimes we find ourselves in very interesting situations where we feel, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. And listening and learning about your life story, you have continued to rise above the things that are not working for you. Now, I'd like for you to share with us what goes on in your mind, Zina, at the time when it's like your back is against the wall, but there's some thought that you're percolating that starts to make you move that body and decision into action to say, but I don't belong here.
Yeah, my theory really, it's not really a theory, it's my practice, is I meditate, and meditation changes everything, and I guide my mind from worry. Every time I feel like, oh, you know, even this morning I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so many appointments today, and you know, and I immediately went there, and now I'm a publisher, and I publish spirituality books at Simon & Schuster, and I have my own brand, and all my authors were texting this morning and needing this and needing that, and I instantly started worrying, like, is there going to be enough time? And so I thought, well, that's not true. There is enough time. And then, so instead of thinking like there isn't enough time, I thought, yeah, there's so much time. Everyone will get what they need today. And so it's a constant training and retraining of the mind, a remembering and a focus on what's possible, not what we're feeling is a limitation. And, you know, I'm in business. I've got two children. I have a teenager. That's been...
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, that's been really interesting. But, you know, he was the reason I started the tea company 16 years ago, because he was born with a birth defect and he almost died. So right now, it's like at 16, he's, you know, he skipped a class yesterday. And I was like, really, Sage? Like, really? And then I think, okay, well, he's alive. Number one, that's great. He's alive to skip class with a girl he has a crush on and he's 16. Okay, let's reframe this. So I think that's really what everything's about. We have the power to reframe our experience, and being mindful of that on a continuous basis is how to make our lives better. It's how to see what's possible in every situation.
I appreciate you saying that, Zina, and I think that we are beginning to engage more in turning it around, our interpretation of how we're seeing things, because as we grow older as a civilization, it's my pure desire or wish to see that we understand that it's the way that we're thinking through our life that's making us end up where we are. I want to talk about your tea company. Congratulations on just the great success there. And I love teas, by the way. You know,
you
grew your tea company from a small tea card business to a multi-million dollar international brand. Could you just share with our listeners, what were some of the things that you were doing to get to that dimension?
Well, it's interesting because it was to save my son's life. I didn't have health insurance, and back then birth defects were considered pre-existing conditions. So I had to make money quickly. I was a writer. I was writing about my gypsy grandmother at the time, writing her life story, living on a small creative writing grant, and, you know, off the grid, hippie, like, you know, just focused on getting my art created. And when my son was born and that, you know, he had this birth defect, it was not in the plan. It wasn't even something I'd even considered. And so I prayed very, very, very deeply. And I said, God, please tell me what I can do. And I had a vision. And I wrote about this in my book, Life by the Cup. And basically, I saw a gypsy tea party. My grandmother was gypsy, so I was writing about the culture and her and my hobby. And I had studied herbal medicine. My hobby was tea. And I thought, oh my God, I saw this tea party where there was dancing and art and palm reading and children were running around and everybody was free to be themselves. And I thought, what a beautiful, beautiful experience for people to have a tea party and get to be themselves and have fun and show their art and share with each other without fear of judgment. And so I created my first gypsy tea party. And so we had 300 people come to the first gypsy tea party. And I realized I was onto something because everybody was asking, when's the next one? When's the next one? And I had jewelry designers bring their jewelry. I had dancers perform. I had local musicians perform. I made it all about the arts and expression. And it was so much fun. I started doing more and more, and it started creating money in abundance. And I was able to pay for Sage's operations. And eventually I put the product into tins and put it out into stores. And what I discovered in doing that process was that the workers in India and Sri Lanka weren't getting a fair wage, and I learned about fair trade. I went to India and Sri Lanka. I audited and met the tea workers in the tea fields and realized that they were living in abject poverty. And so I found a fair trade business model, implemented that into my business, became the first fair trade tea company in the U.S., and focused on ending poverty for tea workers. And that's really what the success was. It was nobody needed another tea company, but to have a tea company that made you feel fabulous and good about yourself, and that also helped the workers get out of poverty and get health care and clean water systems and housing. And that was so exciting for people. I was able to go to Kroger, National, Safeway, even Walmart, and show them the fair trade gardens versus the non-fair trade gardens. And I asked them to please help me. And they put the product on the shelves, and that was how it happened. And so with a mission to serve, you cannot fail is my life statement, pretty much. So if it was about me getting rich, I don't think I would have had that success. But it was about how I could help and how we could help and how we could uplift those who needed it most. And that's why it succeeded.
I think it did, Sina. And I think it changes the language of corporate and it changes the language of entrepreneurship. And we have been hearing a lot of individuals who are gifted or who are passionate about something and that you don't feel satisfied unless you feel like it's in service. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we've come to the foregone conclusion that it's not money that's going to make the soul live in bliss or happy. It pays the mortgage. It gives you a car to get from A to Z. It gives you some kind of a status quo. But at the end of the day, what's my soul feeling? And when many of us, or some of us at least, are responding to that call, we so are making an impact on this generation that's coming up, who I'm hoping will be more service-oriented and will find that their fortune. Yeah, and find that their fortune will come more from that angle of consciousness.
Absolutely. I'm publishing a book at my publishing house. My publishing house is called Enliven, and we're going to be doing a lot of live events with meditation and healers. I have 20 incredible healers and authors, and I'm publishing a book called Why, The Generation That Will Change the World, and Josh Patel is our author who's doing a film. He's won the Sundance Award for Fuel, but he's doing a film on how this generation, the millennials, are wired to serve the world. They're actually created for it. And it's so inspiring. And my son has the biggest questions about life. He has these, psychological, he's wired differently. And he's wondering about God and the universe and energy and how people affect each other. And the questions he's asking are completely different than the questions other generations have asked. And so I do believe that this generation is going to change the world, and it starts with us. But I also know that the mindfulness being, money makes things easier. I've been without it, and I've been with it. So for us to say it's not about money, it's not actually true, because money will allow us to make our lives have enough leisure to where we're not at the bottom of Maslow's pyramid struggling to survive. The people in the tea fields on a dollar a day don't even have toilets. That is not a place where they can then go, how am I going to serve the world? That doesn't work. We all have to live in abundance. Money makes for us to have the freedom, because money is not an issue if you have it, but it's a big issue if you don't. Being abundant-minded is very important for being in service. So if you say, oh, well, I'm a servant, and money doesn't matter to me, well, it's going to matter to you when you realize you don't have any to eat. And I've been in that role, and that didn't work. But what a lot of us service, you know, oriented, mission-driven people have to move through is really thinking, okay, well, abundance is our natural state. All of us can live in pure abundance, and not only can I have it, but everyone can have it. And I want to create an abundant world, and that takes mindfulness and thoughtfulness. Mm-hmm. Abundance is very different from having greed. You know, this morning it was interesting. I never listened about the lottery, but we have this big lottery that happened, I guess, in California, and everybody
was
like,
I was just about to talk to you about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, everybody was going out to get lottery tickets, and I was like, well, why? Like, what is it? Why this lottery? And they were like, oh, my God, it's up to like $1.6 billion or something. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Everyone should go get a ticket. And then I guess this morning on the news, I was actually looking up what happened in Jakarta, and I saw that three people won it. And I thought, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I hope they're mindful about what they do with it. Like, how exciting. Can you imagine what $1.6 billion can do in the world? Like, how exciting. I hope they're mindful. So it's not like that's bad. It's like, what good can you do with it? How, and that's the good part, you know? So I think we have to just say, yes, I want to be abundant. I want to have lots and lots of abundance flowing to me. Wealth comes in many, many forms. I have a wealth of health and family and friends and loved ones, and I live in a beautiful place. And so I'm very wealthy. I have a beautiful marriage. And then the abundance, what can I share with others in service to their spirits? And that's really the framing that is an ongoing meditation, really.
I love what you just shared, because I had the exact same thoughts this morning, Zena. Thought about this. And, you know, it was so interesting because I went into the extension of saying, I wonder where those souls are consciously. And I wonder what they will do with that. There is so much that it can be used for something good, which could make them so happy. So I started to catch myself sending them thoughts and vibrations, do something good with the earnings. I'm sure you have more than enough. And I just think, I'm just thinking of writing a story about that, you know.
Yeah,
today
it's great,
because I write for the Post, and I think it's just so important to advocate that sort of an understanding. There's so much more going on. I want to talk about Zena TV. You know, you've got networks like O Network and quite a lot of Varia, and they've been coming up and wanting to do a lot of mindfulness programming and programming that are going to raise people's consciousness. And as you know, you are the company that you keep. And when you're with people that are going somewhere consciously, emotionally, mentally, you feel like your journey is a little bit easier. It's the ones that are not going there that tend to actually help us to become stronger people. Remember, you've got teenagers. So what I would love for you to share is your vision of Zena TV, and what are some of the things that we can expect from it?
Yeah, I was a host on a show called Wake Up that was on Pop TV, and it was like The View, but for consciousness. And that show, after one season, we realized the producer, it was very hectic. And so my friends and I, who are all transformational leaders that are working to help consciousness come, you know, in greater volume into the world, we decided that we would find another format or show to do. And so we were approached by a 3-time Emmy Award-winning director named Mary Medeiros, who used to direct General Hospital and now and CBS This Morning. And she was saying, I've had a dream my whole life of creating, you know, conscious media. I said, well, I've had a dream my whole life of creating conscious media. And then my girlfriend, you know, Natalie Ledwell, who founded Mind Movies, and she has the Inspiration Show online and millions of followers, and she's one of our hosts and partners, and she said, oh, well, I've had the same dream. So now we're dreaming up a way to create it, because what we're finding is that consciousness, we did great with the first season of Wake Up, and they just want to know you can get advertisement. It's money first. And so what we're finding is that we may actually be doing more, focus more on a hybrid where it's an internet-based show that we can create without needing to make sure we have, like, advertisers that don't necessarily match our vibration yet. And so we're working on that right now. We've got our executive producer is Tammy Leach Taylor, and she's got several very, very successful shows on television. And we are pitching the consciousness talk show right now. And yeah, and so Wake Up happened, and that was fabulous. And now we're doing one that we're calling The Now. And it's basically how things are now. And, you know, we'll be talking about parenting and money and all the things, but how to reframe everything toward consciousness. So it's juicy. I mean, we all drink drink wine. We're all human. We all have fun in our lives. We all like to go on, you know, great, exciting adventures. And at the same time, we are constantly reframing everything into consciousness. So Xena TV is focused on creating conscious media. My company, Enliven Books, is owned by CBS. And CBS Television, CBS Radio, all of that owns Simon & Schuster, which in turn owns my company. And what I believe can happen, and my vision, is to turn CBS into conscious broadcast systems. And the way to do that is to bring more conscious media into CBS. And so that's my vision, and that's what you can expect. And how that looks so far is I have 20 books coming out that are all focused on consciousness. And we have everything from how the millennials are wired to uplift and change humanity, to how direct voice medium of 65 years can actually create, you know, help us follow our intuition so that we can tap our inner guides more in daily life and fulfill our potential, to how to sing your meditation. One of our chanting artists is very famous for chanting, and he's teaching us how we can meditate through singing and the power of that. So I'm really focused on getting these incredible books out and really using them to uplift humanity and creating live events around that. And I'm creating a CBS radio show around them as well. So yes, I'm in the trenches right now getting all the books done, and I'm having fun, and it's a lot of detail, a lot of production and getting the books perfect, and it's all very exciting. I have two that have already come out. One is called Bouncing Forward. It's about post-traumatic growth, and I believe you interviewed Michaela, and she's a Tibetan Buddhist meditator who discovered that some meditation makes you more resilient when trauma happens. And then Convergence Healing is Peter Bedard, who was hit in a hit and run and killed on his moped at 17 and came back to his body, and it was crushed.
Yeah, Peter was just in our show recently. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he a love? Fantastic. He's such a love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And so his book is beautiful, and it's really how we orphan our pain. We ignore it. We try to medicate it. We try to shut it up. It's kind of like throwing your kid in front of the TV. You know, we try to throw a pill at our pain. But our pain is actually our greatest teacher and our greatest healer. So I did a session with him before the book came out, and I just thought, this is really the work. I mean, it really healed my neck. And so I thought, you know, more of this, more positive, more beautiful, more sincere people really doing the beautiful work out in the world. And so that's my focus right now, is just getting Enliven Books really up and running and successful, and then creating online, you know, media. And when the Now show gets picked up, we have some really big meetings coming up. We'll just continuously be focused on transforming dark into light everywhere we can.
Well, congratulations for all that you're doing, because it's timely and it's definitely needed at this time. It is something that you
and
said
you're doing
that really
it too.
Struck me.
Yeah.
You know, it really struck me, and it was so natural what you shared, which is something that I've been zoning into, which is so important to me. It's that sincerity that you bring into your story, that it reaches a point where we start to amplify and highlight the importance of this quality in someone's being. That's the success, and that's what the world needs nowadays. I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So now you're changing the world. Leave us with another big nugget of inspiration, and maybe just a website that's the best one that our listeners can get a hold of you. And please send all your authors to us. We'll be happy to amplify them as well.
Thank you. So my website is www.zhena.tv, as in television. It's not zhenatv.com. It's zhena.tv. And I'm very accessible through there. People can email me. They can send notes. And then my last nugget, oh, God, there's so much good stuff to share with you. Oh, well, I'm re-listening to The Law of Attraction books by Abraham Hicks right now. Mm-hmm. And something that's been really a great reminder, because I've read these so long ago and now I'm re-listening to them, is the pivot. So if you're feeling not well, or if you're feeling stressed or uncomfortable, that's your greatest teacher. And your greatest teacher is telling you you're not feeling well. And your navigational system is, when you're feeling well and you're feeling happy, you know you're on the right track. But when you're not feeling it, you can say this: I'm not feeling well. And what am I doing right now that's not making me feel well? And then what can I do, or how can I be to feel well right now? And it's just a really simple, like, I was stressed out about our construction going on around the house, and I'm thinking, this isn't fun. Like, I've wanted this new room for years and years, and I'm not having fun. Why aren't I having fun? Why aren't I excited about this? And I thought, oh, I'm trying to control other people's creative input. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to let them come in with their ideas. I'll let my husband come in with his ideas. I'll let, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden it was fun again. And it took like 20 seconds. So really just always pivot. Always look at what can make you feel happy in that moment and just learn, and you'll get really fast at it to where it's automatic. And that will guide you in a really beautiful way toward more love.
Zena, thank you so very much, and all the very best for everything that you touch.
Thank you.
And enjoy Sage. It's going to be an incredible ride for the next 3 years.
Thank you. I love
Take
that
care.
Kid. All right. Take
Bye.
Care. Thank you, Sister Jenna. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So you can be with your back to the wall and in a situation where something as challenging as even your son not being well and perhaps about to die, it pushes you, it wakes you up, makes you realize that you've got so much in you that you can move forward with. And so that was the story that we just heard. From something that seemed like there was no hope, she used that energy instead of taking it into sorrow and despair, and instead of taking it into victimization, she took it as an opportunity. So please, for all of you who listened to today's show, whatever challenges you might be going through, don't walk down that road with the energy that does not give you a return. Use the energy and invest in it and make it return something good for you. Thank you for listening to the America Meditating Radio. We hope that you are following yours truly, Sister Jenna, on Huffington Post for all the articles that she distributes early in the morning. Please just go to Huffington Post, and I think they have those tabs, you know, fan me, hello me, follow me. I always feel strange mentioning that because it just feels unnatural. But if you think it would be helpful just to continue with the narrative of some of the positive things that are happening in the world and reframing the conversation in the world that we're witnessing now on regular media and on regular radio shows that need ratings and advertisements, I urge you to engage in this quality of conversation along the way. Thank you for listening to America Meditating. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We are here to love each other the same. If you plan to change the world, then change yourself. Take care. Here's Lifted from Bliss.